This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Standem, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I'm your host, Mike Cicchini, and I'm the guy who's bringing you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics, DC TV shows, to the big screen of the DCEU. And it's another comics episode this time around because we've got Cena Grace talking to Den of Geek correspondent and all-around pop culture genius, Rosie Knight. Cena joins us to talk about Superman, The Harvests of Youth, the latest in DC's impressive and really cool line of young adult graphic novels. While I haven't read this one myself yet, it's out as of October 3rd, and I'm recording this a little bit before that. You folks know, if you listen to the show a lot, that I will devour just about anything Superman, and this looks pretty delightful. But you know what else is delightful? Rosie's chat with Cena Grace. So let's get to it.
Hello, I'm in the gorgeous Den of Geek Den at SDCC with the amazing Cena Grace.
Hey.
It's so nice to have you here.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about something really exciting.
Our clashing prints?
No, comics.
We
actually planned to be as clashing as possible. Yeah, we're going to talk about something. Why don't you tell us the name?
Yeah. The whole reason I'm here is DC Comics is announcing this Superman young adult graphic novel that I'm writing and drawing.
Amazing.
Called Superman, The Harvests of Youth. And I've been working on this in secret through the entirety of the pandemic. So to finally get to talk about it and also to be able to post on social media, like I'm like, oh, now I have all this content because I've been working on something in secret for 2 years, and I'm just like, you know, grabbing through the photo gallery being like, okay, what can I post, because everything I'm working on is redacted or whatever, it's top secret. So I'm so happy.
So yeah, could you, I mean, I love the YA line. I just had Cammy in here. It's one of my favorite things that's being published at the moment. So could you talk a little bit about getting to take on, you know, DC's most famous character in this space where you get to reimagine?
Oh yeah, it's Superman. Well, and it's not lost on me, right? I went in to meet with then editor Diegues Lopez, and I was coming at her with this like impassioned 45-minute speech to do a Green Arrow Black Canary book. I was like, yeah, Wild at Heart, Wrong Side of the Train Tracks, yada yada. And she, again, this is like, she was like, yeah, cool, all right, yeah, send me a pitch sheet if you want, but what do you think about Superman? And what's crazy is I just, like, anyone who's watching this, I'm going to be saying this all weekend, every opportunity. I just didn't think ever about Superman because I just never thought, like, I could tell that story. And so for someone to give me the assignment and to take a weekend and think about Clark Kent being a teenager, learning sort of how to become the hero he's meant to be, turns out I was like, oh, I do have a story to tell. And I had like just gone to Cleveland for a work trip, so I had a lot of like Cleveland's like soul energy in me, and it's just this really beautiful, like heartbreaking, lovely story about a teenage Clark Kent who's not learning to use his powers, but learning like how to use his powers. Like there's no training montage, but it's how do I actually take this stuff and apply it in situations where maybe brute force isn't even an option. Yeah. And I think that that's the Superman that we really kind of all love and believe in, is this person whose heart and mind are just as much a part of the equation of his heroism.
Absolutely.
On top of just big muscles and laser eyes.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, you're writing and drawing this, which is so incredible. Congratulations. It's very rare that a cartoonist gets to tell an entire story in the comic book space. So what's that been like, getting to do this from a primary place of writing and drawing by yourself. I'm sure you've got going to have an amazing team. And
yeah, we got Chris Peter coloring it, and we don't have a letterer yet, but they're going to be great when we hire them.
Absolutely.
But it's, it, you know, the thing that was, nothing's great about a pandemic, but when you're paid to draw, it did help to be trapped at home mm-hmm. with nothing to do besides designing each and every cast member and thinking about every nook and cranny of Smallville. And
yeah.
I'm going to be handing out a sketchbook at my 7:30 panel that just shows what went into like figuring out the outfits every character wears and their build and body language. And there's even like, I like just like comparing head shapes. Like I had mm-hmm. the time to think about that, to think about what eyeglasses Clark Kent is going to wear and how do I modernize these characters while still touching on what's true to them. And what, and then just going back to what's true to me mm-hmm. and to just put all that like love into it. And it's, you know, I guess it's just this wonderful thing of like, it was the opportunity of a lifetime, and it was also the best time in my lifetime to approach this. I'm never going to have this much time to develop the visual aesthetic core of a concept like I did with this book. And like, good, because, you know, first time doing Superman, maybe only time doing Superman like this. And so I just took it with like the utmost responsibility and care, and I'm you know, and then people are gonna read it and hate it, and who, I don't, whatever, it doesn't matter. No, they're gonna,
no,
like,
you
it.
Know what, the, I love the YA line because it gets to exist in its own space, where even if certain people, you know, the best thing about comics is hundreds of them come out every week, so there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And the good thing about this line is they always find their audience.
Yeah.
Because there are kids who don't necessarily have a local comic shop, but who can go to Barnes and Nobles and get these books, or who can get them online. And, you know, yeah, there's, in that way, they're really special. But I think you really hit on something, because about kind of the creating the true visual landscape of this book. This is a very interesting situation to be in, because these books, of course, we know who Superman is. That was established all those years ago by Siegel and Shuster. Like, that's not going to change. But you actually do not have to go back and reference the comics to create that visual landscape in the same way as if you were doing a mainline title.
Yeah.
So there is like a lot of freedom with narrative and visuals.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's almost like the, not to talk about the other company, but, you know, like Marissa Tomei as Aunt May.
Yeah.
Like at first I was like, what? And then I saw her and I was like, yeah, like Aunt May shouldn't be like 75 and like mm-hmm. daughtering. Like, she's like a cool aunt. So, you know, to even just to look at Ma and Pa Kent and think mm-hmm. about them as parents, and also be like, oh, they don't need to look anything like Clark because he's adopted.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And just to kind of make like, you know, it's like, of course, Pa Kent has like a Patagonia like sweater vest thing or whatever, or a puffy vest. And of course, like Ma Kent shops at Eileen Fisher. Like, but of course, she's got like, you know, like her dirty boots because they do farm work. Like, so, but just to have that time and think about these people and think about all of them. And it, you know, it really is a book about Smallville. Yeah. All of the people of Smallville. And I fell in love with each and every one of them. And I would avoid drawing pages with certain characters until I got them down right in my sketchbook, mm-hmm. which really annoyed my current editor, Sarah Miller. She's like, can you please draw in sequence? And I was like, no, I don't have Pete Ross down yet. I need time.
What shoes would Pete Ross wear? What color would his laces be?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm like, they're tan shoes. They're going to be like big boots. They're cool. Anyway.
And yeah, so...
But I think about what shoes Clark
right?
Kent
of
wears.
Course.
He has the Adidas, like, turtle toe ones. That's what I call them. And then he also has, like, a lot of, like, Converse. And then he has some nice lace-up boots. He's got, you know, they have so many outfit changes, these kids.
I love it. That's the good thing about the YA line, like we were talking to Cammie. The most prominent books in those lines are Gabriel Piccolo's Incredible Art, which is all about the fashion. So
yeah.
I think that there's a nice space to come at it from that character design too.
Because the fight scenes are the fight scenes, you know, and they're, you're going to do the fight scenes the way you're going to do them. But to have time to like design how everyone looks in those fight scenes, because when you're drawing a fight scene, you kind of have to be in the moment. Over laying it out ends up making it just like stiff in a mm-hmm. way. So you got to get loose with the fight scenes, but the clothes,
Yeah.
Gotta spend time on them.
And how do you balance, like, it's obviously about Smallville, it's about this part of Clark's life that in the comics is often he's a kid, oh, he was a teen, oh, he's an adult, and he's in Metropolis. How do you balance the kind of cosmic nature of who he is and his powers with that small town storytelling?
That's, I'm glad you asked that, because I haven't brought that up yet. And it's a really heady topic, I think, even for grownups, but mm-hmm. it's about this character. And in this book, like the origin happened, you don't need to see the yeah. ship. You don't need to talk about that.
We know how he got there.
Yeah. We know how he got there. But it's before Kryptonite. So he doesn't know what his actual weaknesses are. And the book does start with like a death in his school. And so it is about Clark meditating on the concept of mortality. Mm. And then it's like his lack thereof.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know. It's not that trippy. Like, I've even read like a Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale short story that deals a little bit with that about Superman. But I think my meditation on it is just this, like, these big questions that he's like, mom, dad, like, help. And they're like, we don't know. Like, you're an alien, kid. Like, we found you. Like, we're doing the best we can too. But you know, in the good actual classic Ma and Pa Kent way, yeah. where they still say the right thing. But yeah, it's about the fact that like Clark doesn't know how big things get and doesn't know how sort of cosmic it all is. It's so grounded and so human. And then here he is reconciling that he is above it all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I deal with it, is by facing it head on, but also dealing with nothing cosmic.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually really interesting, because one of the biggest kind of follies of youth is like when you're a teenager, you do think you're immortal.
Yeah.
So kind of getting to have that in a more textual way of,
and then
like,
having
well,
a teenager
what if you
who is immortal.
Are immortal,
yeah.
Then how do you deal with that?
Yeah, and it's not in like, I just, you know, and I have a good attitude about it. It's not about this like, you know, turd approach to it where it's like, oh, like I'm a nihilist. I'm pro hope. So
so Superman, so it's a perfect
yeah
man.
Exactly, like this isn't about having like a turd approach to it.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So much.
Bye.
That's a wrap on another episode of DC Stand'em. Keep it right here for more exclusive interviews and special surprises from the world of DC TV and movies. Make sure you're subscribing to us wherever you're listening right now. Don't forget to check out our web home. That's denandgeek.com. You can find all our DC coverage if you go straight to denandgeek.com/DC. Drop me a line on Twitter. I'm at WayOutStuff. But what I really would rather you do, well, it's not that I don't want to hear from you folks, but, you know, as part of my job, I need to build up the following on the actual DC Stand'em accounts, which we have on Twitter and Instagram. So make sure you are following at DC Stand'em on Twitter and Instagram. Give those a follow. Tell us what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes. You know, we'll see if we can come up with some other surprises for you there. We'll see what's up. And hey, don't forget, we also have a Marvel show, which we usually do live on Twitch. So make sure you're following Den of Geek on Twitch. That is twitch.tv/DenofGeekTV. One of these days, we'll start doing DC Stand'em live on there as well. But what do you care? You don't want to look at my face, and I don't blame you. Anyway, this has been DC Stand'em on the Den of Geek Network. Until next time, I'm Mike Cicchini. And remember, folks, we stand together.